Let's go ahead and, if you would, lift up your hands. I want to pray and I want to get into this word this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. It's the bedrock of our lives. It changes us, moves us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And Father, each and every teaching opportunity brings us one step closer to our destiny. So I thank you, Father, that this morning it's not just information, but it's inspiration and it's motivation. Father, and it changes us and alters us and makes us more like your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning I want to kind of pick up where I made a couple comments last week. And one of the things that I said was that if walking by faith was easy, everyone would do it. And I want to kind of elaborate on that a bit more. And the title of this morning's message is The Struggle is Real. Because see, I've told you before that all of my favorite authors are dead. I just like the books of men that wrote 100 years ago. They had a depth about them that you don't find in most today. And my favorite author of all time wrote a book called Two Kinds of Faith. And in that book, he explained how in the church, there's two kinds of faith operating in the people that are in the church. One is it's born of the natural. It has to do with reason. If it's reasonable, they'll believe it. The other is born of the Spirit, and it's based on revelation, and it believes that which is revealed. Now, hear me when I say this. Even if what is revealed is unreasonable. And we need to step over into the unreasonable where our life is based on revelation, not on that which makes sense to the natural man. Okay? There's a verse I want you to see this, and this is how we're going to get started. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, and you remember Jesus was having a dialogue with his disciples, and he asked them a question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And paraphrasing it, they said, "Well, Lord, you got to understand there's no clear consensus on that. We've had some committee meetings and we've discussed it. And some say you're probably John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. But then there's another group over here. They won't agree with either one of those. They say you're Jeremiah. And then there's still some others that say that you're one of the prophets. They just don't know which one." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And you remember Peter said, "You know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this is what Jesus said. Listen to this in verse 17. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood," one translation said men, "did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now here's what I want to say. Notice the word reveal. Everyone say reveal. Reveal. That's going to be a big word today because see, in the church you have reason and you have revelation. Amen. And the struggle between the two is very real. You have those who will only believe that which is reasonable. When I say reasonable, I mean it comes to them through natural means. They see it, they hear it, they feel it. It makes sense naturally, therefore it's reasonable. But there's another group who they go by revelation. Amen. Now here's what I want you to notice, that Jesus said flesh and blood did not. In a deeper sense, you could say flesh and blood could not. Because you got to remember, Peter heard the words. Peter saw the miracles. But the revelation could not come through the eyes of the natural or the ears of the natural. Jesus said that the Father had to reveal this to you. That word reveal, it's a long Greek word, so I'm not even going to try to say it. I'm just going to tell you what it means. And it literally means to remove a veil or covering. Exposing to open view that what was before hidden. And that's going to come back too. That which was hidden is revealed. To make manifest or reveal a thing previously secret or unknown. Flesh, natural, can discover. That means they can see something as if for the first time. But flesh cannot reveal. I want to say that again. Especially not when it comes to the things of God's kingdom, because the flesh has no means by which to comprehend it. Amen. Nothing about it makes sense. I mean, can you tell me one miraculous thing that Jesus did that was reasonable? That made sense. When, you know, the miracle started at the wedding feast of Cana. What is reasonable about people running out of wine and the local prophet saying to fill the jars with water? That's not reasonable. What is reasonable about missing a boat and stepping out on the water? What's reasonable about telling Peter, step over the bow of the boat? Can you imagine how that story would have been different if Peter said, now, Lord, that's just not reasonable. There's a struggle between that which is reasonable and that which is revelation. And if you and I want to step over into the miraculous and understand everything about God's kingdom is miraculous. It's a miraculous kingdom. This is a miraculous book. It's filled from cover to cover with miracles. Everything about our existence is supposed to be miraculous. Yes, but in order to experience the miraculous, I propose for your consideration, maybe it's reasonable that we should step out of the reasonable realm into the revelation realm. And instead of gauging and making decisions on that which makes sense, we ought to make our decisions based on whatever he says to you, do that. Even if what he says to you is not reasonable. Is this okay this morning? This is why Jesus was saying, listen, flesh cannot reveal anything about the kingdom, which is why Jesus said, my Father in heaven had to reveal this to you. I wrote this down. I want you to hear it. True Christianity is forever elusive to those who are governed by their natural senses because it's not natural. It's spiritual. And if we strip the spiritual out of Christianity so much that a natural man can fully understand it, we're not left with anything supernatural. And we have nothing to do with the kingdom of Christ. Reason can give birth to religion. Revelation gives birth to a kingdom. You following me this morning? John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said this when he was asked, are you a king? One translation said, you got that right. But this is what he said in verse 36 of John 18. Jesus answered, my kingdom. Now, don't make no mistake. I've got a kingdom. But what did he say? My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of the natural. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. He never denied that he had a kingdom. He just said, it's not a kingdom that's reasonable. It's not of the reason. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I want to read this to you out of the Passion Translation. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations. Do you see that word?
Yes, sir.
What do they reject? Let's say it together.
The
not the reason.
No.
They'll embrace things that are reasonable. But they'll reject the revelations of God's Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Why would they reject the revelations of God's Spirit? Because they're not reasonable. They don't make sense to the senses.
Right. Amen.
Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit.
Amen.
As I said, this book, it's a miracle book. You ever read the first chapter of Genesis? That makes no sense. It's not reasonable. And do you know there's a lot of theologians that have PhDs that reject the very first chapter? Why? Because that is a book of revelation. You have to have revelation to believe God did it. You've got to. And it can't be born of the senses. In fact, the Bible says this. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, out of the Amplified. By faith, everyone say by faith.
By faith.
Not by reason, not by education, but by faith we understand. What do we understand? That the worlds during the successive ages were formed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purposes by the word of God. You seen what I'm saying here? If you operate on an entirely human plane of existence, you can't cope with that. It's easier for you to believe a Big Bang theory. It's easier for you to believe that your grandpa was a monkey. But by revelation, you know that the world came in existence when an unseen power we call Jehovah, Adonai, the God Almighty, declared light be and light was. That by his word, those things that were not before became. By faith we understand this. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. By faith we understand, listen to this, by faith we understand the things that are beyond reason. By faith we understand that the impossible is actually quite possible.
Amen.
Is anyone here this morning?
Yes.
By faith we understand God can heal a broken body.
Yes.
By faith we understand he can make a deformed baby whole. By faith, we understand he can make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dead to rise again. By faith, we understand that. By reason, we don't. Once again, drawing inspiration from the ministry of Jesus, what's reasonable about going to a tomb 4 days after the dude has died? Dark, dank, humid, he stinketh. That means he had begun to decompose. What's reasonable about standing in front of that tomb and calling the man forward? There ain't nothing reasonable about that. That's revelation. By faith, we understand the moving of God's Spirit. By faith, we understand things that the one who lives on an entirely human level cannot understand and often rejects. So here's what I'm going to say. When I talk to you about the struggle being real, when you and I decide that we're going to live strictly by revelation, there are going to be some people who can't hang with us anymore. I mean, you might as well just get ready. There are going to be some people who will tell you, I can't agree with that. And the reason they won't be able to agree with that is because they're making decisions based entirely on a human experience level. And that's fine and that's dandy if that's where they want to be. But I don't know about you, I don't want to go my whole life and never experience another miracle. I've seen God do things. And I know I'm going to see it again. I remember when first time I went to Siberia. And the Lord, as soon as I got off the plane, the Lord said, I have enrolled you in the school of the anointing. Because my wife can tell you I'm a man of reason. When we moved to Poland and she began to say how she didn't like winter, I was like, too bad, so sad. We live in the Arctic, baby. And she began to explain, will you let me pray that God gives us? And I began to explain to her the access of the earth. And she finally said, will you let me just pray? And I was like, you can pray about whatever you want, but here's a globe. This is reasonable. She prayed and snow began to melt. For the years that we were there, the Polish people said, we've had uncommonly warm winters. The year we left, didn't we get a report? It was like the coldest winter in a decade. When she said, there's a picture in my office of her standing in front of a house that she didn't like because it was cinder block gray. And she said, I want that house to be a certain color. And I was like, love, you can't do that. Five stories, big gray house, vexed her. And she said, I want to pray that they paint that house a Floridian color. And I'm like, Florida, baby, this is Poland. They don't have those colors here. Here we got three shades of gray. Pick which one you want. And she said again, would you just let me pray? I was like, okay, fine, whatever you want to do, pray. And she prayed. The next day, scaffolding went up at this house. And I wanted to say, God, don't. This ain't reasonable. Because I had explained to her, our spiritual jurisdiction doesn't cover other people's choices. And then when the scaffolding went down, it was her color. I was like, me and you got to have a talk. Because you're undermining me here. Because see, there's a struggle between reason and revelation. When you make your life choices based upon that which is reasonable, then you're always confined to the reasonable. But when you make your life choices based on revelation, then the impossible becomes possible and the unlikely occurs. Healings take place over here, not over here. Because over here it's reasonable you got to take the drugs. Over here it's reasonable that your health is going to start declining at 65. Over here it's reasonable you're going to have the same chronic pains your family has had. Over there is revelation that says, behold, all things are made new. Where we want to be is in the realm of revelation. But where we struggle is in the combat between the two. Should we walk by faith or should we walk by sight? That's a struggle. Because we've been trained our whole... Is this okay? We've been trained since we were infants to trust our senses. We didn't walk by faith. Right? If it was hot, we found out. If it was sharp, we knew about it because we had done did it. I learned early on, a beach towel doesn't make you Superman. Anyone else know what I mean? I thought if I jumped off the shed like this with a beach towel, all I got was hurt. We need to walk by revelation so we can understand the things of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read a few verses here because Paul does a magnificent job of just contrasting two different wisdoms, two different faiths, two different type of lives. He said in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2, however, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age, who are in the process of being dethroned. Now you notice where Paul said he spoke this, in the presence of the mature. Because there are some people that they just can't get it. When you talk to them about angels, divine intervention, God healing you last night, they don't get it. Verse 7, instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God. Hidden. Now remember what I told you. What is revelation? It's the revealing of things that were hidden. So this wisdom that comes from God is constantly revealing. Hear me when I tell you this. If we'll stick with revelation, then we'll go from one level of revelation to the next. God will give you revelation how to get out of your jam. And it won't make any sense because you thought, well, if I did this, this, and this, things would get better, but you did that, that, and that, and it only got worse. Anyone ever been there? When you've done everything they said on Google, and it don't work? When you did what the expert said and it only made the situation worse. And then out of desperation, when everything else has failed, we go to God. And God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I remember one preacher told me he came off the field only to come back to his home headquarters and found out he was $1 million in debt for his television ministry. They were $1 million behind, and this was back when $1 million was a lot of money. And he thought, well, if I could just call so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, he began to think about how he could come up with this $1 million. And one of the people he thought about called him. And he thought, God has answered my prayer. Remember the story, love? He shared this. He said, God just answered my prayer. This guy called him and said, Pastor, I need to come see you. And he thought, yes, you do. You need to come quickly. And the man came, and they went out and did some things together. And the man said, the reason I'm here. And the pastor's going, I know why you're here. Because I got $1 million debt, and you happen to be my sugar daddy. Have I ever told you how much I love you? How much I pray for you? And the man said, I'm $1 million behind in my TV contracts. You think you could help me? That's unreasonable. And he said, but the Lord spoke to him. He said, I sent you your answer. I sent you your answer. And that ain't reasonable. When you have a need and God presents to you a need equal to or greater than yours, I sent you your answer. Thank God this pastor listened to God. Because the pastor said, well, I got to tell you in all honesty, I'm in the same boat you are. I'm $1 million behind. And I don't have everything you need, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. So he emptied his bank account. I think it was about 100 grand, if I'm not mistaken, which ain't a million. And he gave every penny to this guy. And God had his bill paid off in like just a couple days. That is not reasonable. But when we obey the Spirit of God, God's not trying to bring us to the poorhouse. The Bible says he guides us, he leads us to a wealthy place. That wealthy place isn't just financial, that's emotional, it's physical, it means the place of shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing, everything in the place. But we have to do what he says to do, when he says to do it, how he says to do it, even when and often it will be unreasonable. We continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scriptures say things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all of his lovers. You know, in the New American Standard, it talks about the eye not seeing and the ear not hearing. I mean, it didn't come to you through natural senses. Your eyes can't comprehend it. Your ears couldn't process it. But God has it in store for you. How are you going to know what he's got in store? You got to hear the wisdom that comes from above. You've got to hear his voice. Verse 10. But now God unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed, there's that word again, to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, verse 11, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit. The Spirit of God. So we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand. You seeing this? You seeing how it all connects together? The realm of the kingdom does not need to be a mystery. We don't have to wonder how God does it. We can understand it. We can understand how 2 plus 2 equals 20 in His kingdom. We can come to understand how giving away results in increase. We can understand how laying our hands on the sick results in them being made well. We can understand that we're not the old creature of failure and defeat and weakness. We can understand that we've been remade in His image, recreated in His glory. We can understand that we're not of this world, but we're of another world. We can understand these things. But we can't understand them by constantly looking to reason. Because you look in the mirror and you look just like your old Mary Kay needing self. But in the inner man of you, if you could see the inner man, you're created in light. You're a creature of glory. You look so much like Him that angels have a hard time telling you apart. Pastor, I need verse for that. Try Psalm 8, bro. Read it. Created Him just one shade lower than Elohim. What is man? You crowned Him with glory. We can understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. I like that. I got to hurry up. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths and Spirit-revealed words. Amen. That's you. That's me. We are not natural people trying to be spiritual. We are spiritual people who need to put behind the natural. Everyone say reason. Revelation. We got to choose. Whenever a man thinks that reason is safer than revelation. You ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. Should we just say amen and go home? All right, you asked for it. Whenever a man thinks that reason is safer than revelation, that reason is better than revelation, he is stepping out of the light and into darkness. I want to say that again. Whenever a man thinks that reason, that which makes sense to the human mind, that which the eyes can see, the fingers can feel, the ears can hear, that that's safer than the revelation of God, he's stepping out of light and into darkness. Revelation is the safe place. The struggle is real, but we must walk by revelation knowledge. Most Christians have not yet learned to walk by faith. Their minds are still receiving directions for life through the avenues of the senses. To walk by faith, I mean we walk by the Word of God. To walk by the senses, listen to this, is to walk by reason, yours or someone else's. That's right. Amen. They told you it was reasonable to go home and die, so you went home and went to bed. God says, pick up your bed and walk. I don't know if I'm preaching better than your amen or what, but there's a massive distance. Listen, you can listen to someone talk and understand. Revelation and reason don't even talk the same. Reason says I'm getting older. Revelation says my youth is renewed day by day. Reason says I'm getting younger. Revelation says I'm getting stronger because I've been made strong in His strength. They don't even talk the same. I heard this story and I wanted to share it with you. A woman came to her pastor, asking him to pray for her child. The true story. She said the doctors have done all they can. They say there's no hope. He asked her, why didn't you go to the Father first? She said, well, I thought about it, but I didn't know what to do, so I called the doctor. This is not anti-doctor. Don't hear what I ain't saying. You see, when we have a financial need, we call sugar daddy. When we need wisdom, we go Google. How about if we go to the Father first? He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't ask of Google, ask of him. And he will give you generously, not make you feel ashamed for asking. He asked her, why didn't you go to the Father first? She said, I thought about it, but I didn't know what to do, so I called the doctor. That's reasonable. Facing human limitations and crying out in fear after when there is no help. She could trust in the doctor because she could see him. She could see the medicine, but she could not trust in the word because she could not see God. She could not hear his voice. But when the doctor failed, she turned to God for help. And the amazing thing is the grace and love of the Father. He instantly touched the child and brought deliverance. Reason had reached its limit. The doctor knew all about the organs of the child's body. He could visualize the inflammation that had laid hold on that particular organ, yet he had no means to cure the inflammation or to effect a cure. But Revelation says God created the human body, so he's the logical healer. Revelation says that God laid that disease on Jesus. Jesus bore that disease. So the child does not need to bear it. So I lift up my heart to him and say, thank you that the child is well. Thank you that I am well. Thank you that you are the healed of the Lord. By his stripes ye are healed. That's revelation. Revelation says in the middle of pain, I am the healed of the Lord. Jesus, I call you my healer. In the midst of poverty, Revelation says, I thank you, Father, that you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. That child is made well. Reason cannot understand it. It ridicules it. Says, well, the disease must not have been fatal to begin with. It says it can't be. Revelation does not speak like reason. It's like hearing English and German. You know they're both languages, but they ain't the same. When someone talks revelation, the person that speaks reason just don't get it. They know you're saying something, it just makes no sense. And the person that speaks revelation, when they hear reason, they're like, I'm not in kindergarten no more. I ain't talking goobity 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 goo. Reason freaks out. Listen to this. I'm bringing this to a close. Reason freaks out in the presence of enemies. Revelation says, God has prepared a table before me. Yes. Put up on the screen Psalm 23, verse 5, and we will bring this to a close. You prepare, Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. David wasn't saying this in church. He was saying this in the presence of his enemies. Trusting in his deep relationship with God. David understood. Now you got to understand, and you'll see that this preparing a table is all throughout the scripture because it's so deep in its meaning. And I just want to camp out on it just a little bit. When in the old, if I came to Cleve's house for dinner, he would have a table prepared for me with everything he thinks I might want. But not only that, when I came into his house, he became my bodyguard. No harm could come to me when I was in his house. This is what David is saying. You have prepared a table before me. Everything I need is in you. Both my, now hear me, my provision and my protection. Because if you are my host, oh my shepherd, then no harm can come near me, because when I'm in your presence, you've got to protect me. Do you remember when the angels went to Sodom and went to Lot's house? See, a lot of people get really down on Lot because Lot offered his daughters in the place of the visiting angels. But he had to. He had to. Because when the angels were in his house, They were under his protection. And it was more fitting that one of his own. It was more fitting that his own daughters should suffer at the hands of the mob than those he was sworn to protect. So David is saying, Lord, in the very presence of famine, of pestilence, of disease, in the very presence of inflation, the shrinking dollar and the rising prices, in the very presence of sky-high gas, in the very presence of no deals to be made, no opportunities in front of me, in the very presence of an incurable disease, you have prepared a table before me, and you are here to protect me. No harm can come near me. See, this is what Revelation says. Reason would say, run! Revelation says, no. I don't have to run because I'm safe. Not only have you prepared a table before me, and you've made me to sit down and dine like I ain't got a problem in the world, but you've sworn to my protection, you've anointed me in my cup of running wine, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It runneth over. Yeah. The struggle's real, absolutely. But it's nothing but a choice. We can live our whole existence, and I don't believe that it prohibits us from heaven. I really don't. It just restricts us to a natural life. We can live in the realm of reason and get jealous when the breakthrough happens to our neighbor and criticize them when they prosper. And when they get healed, say, well, you know, it ain't that big a deal to grow a new left arm. Lizards do it. Or we can walk in the realm of revelation knowledge and know that when we wake up in the morning, he is with us. His mercies are new. His blessings are new. His benefits are new. When we wake up in the morning, what are you so excited about? This is the day. What day is it? It's the day that the Lord has made. What are you so excited? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because this is the day. What day is it? It's the day I get my breakthrough. It's the day I get my healing. It's the day that my son returned. It's the day that all things are made right because the sun has risen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Whew. There's something on the horizon for you and I. And I want to say to you this, I want to say this to you prophetically, don't quit yet. I feel that in my spirit. I'm not just trying to simple exhortation, but there's some folks in here, you've been thinking about just giving up. You've been waiting a while. But I feel the Spirit of grace saying to you, don't give up. Keep your hand on that plow. Just keep moving forward. Joy really does come in the morning. Stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when as a congregation, not just as a few, but as a congregation, we lay our hands on the sick. And news gets out, man, at that place, they're recovering. I mean, when the lame don't even get to make it into church. Because you met them in the parking lot. Well, Pastor, that's not... I know it ain't reasonable. But it's possible. It's possible. And where in the middle of the night, you find yourself standing in another place. And you're having a face-to-face with the King of Glory. And you hear his voice. And no other will you ever again follow. Lift your hands in this place. Prayer team, if you would, come forward. If you need prayer this morning, we're going to pray collectively. But if you've never received Jesus as your Christ, don't let another moment go. Let him be your Savior and your friend. The best thing that ever could happen to you is to give your life to Jesus. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. But if you're here this morning and you need someone just to join their hands with you, it could be about healing, could be about fine. It doesn't matter what the need is. He's here to break the chains and to set the captives free. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We receive it with joy. We don't negate it through unbelief, but we say, Father, we here and now make the choice to walk by revelation. To seek you first. Your righteous way of doing things. And we know that we know that we know that when we seek first your kingdom, everything else will be added to us. We thank you, Father, for mature saints who hunger for your presence. Lord, I thank you as the steward of this place for miracles breaking out from the back to the front. Lord, I declare over this place an anointed body. Not a body of laymen and clergy, us and them. But, Father, a body of believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, who collectively do the work of the ministry. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that which you have begun in us, you perfect. And we will walk on to perfection, and we will obtain that and apprehend that for which we've been apprehended. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord another hand clap. If you need prayer, come forward. With that, you're dismissed to go in the grace of God. Love you. See you next week.